This show furnished by GS Medical Center and Dr. Gregory A. Smith.
Circular shaped unidentified objects have been reported.
The unidentified object moved slowly down the Pacific coast and disappeared.
USA Today has deemed Contact in the Desert the Woodstock of UFOs. To register for your chance to win a free pass to Contact in the Desert, go to drgregorysmith.com. Join us June 3rd through the 6th in Joshua Tree for an epic weekend of exploration. We'll see you in the desert. And don't forget to register at drgregorysmith.com.
Cutting through the massive disinformation and propaganda to give you the truth about medical and political controversies. This is Truth, Medicine, and Politics with the executive producer of the award-winning film, American Addict, Dr. Gregory A. Smith. To get on air live with your questions or comments, call 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222. Or 800-ABC-KABC. And now, Dr. Gregory A. Smith.
And it's Saturday night, so that means that I am back, and this is Truth, Medicine, and Politics. Truth is medicine when you think about it, and we try and bring that to you every week doing alternative media on mainstream media because I believe that you people that are listening need to hear this. So tonight, we have a very special guest, and I'm going to bring him on in a minute. His name is Clyde Lewis, and Clyde has a great show. It's called Ground Zero. He's syndicated. You can hear it on multiple radio stations, but you can also hear it on the internet, even on your phone. If you want to check out his site and know how to reach or hear his show, you can go to groundzeromedia.org. That's groundzeromedia.org. You know, I first saw Clyde, I think it was about 2 or 3 years ago. I'm sure he doesn't know this, but he was on Jesse Ventura. Conspiracy. I think it's called Conspiracy Theory. I think it's off the air now, but it was a show where they were looking at these secret places apparently the government is building for doomsday, underground cities, you know, full of water sources and ability to grow food and just incredible situation. And I believe that's the right show. I'll ask him in a minute, but that was the first time that I saw him. And then I was in Fresno, of all places, the first time that I listened to his radio show. And I was just there in business up late one night and just sort of surfing and came across his show and listened to some of the archives shows, and just fantastic stuff. He's interviewed everybody. He's appeared on tons of shows and national and local media himself. So I'm going to bring Clyde on. And Clyde, are you there? And thank you for staying up late on Saturday night for us. How are you doing tonight?
I'm so fantastic, and it's so great to be on your show. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight.
Well, listen, the feeling's mutual. You know, I think your show is fantastic, and I'm going to keep saying your website tonight, because I think everyone should check it out. But, you know, you have, I love talking to other radio hosts, because so often we're interviewing other people and you don't get a chance to hear what they have to say. I said the same thing when I had John B. Wells on from Caravan the Midnight. Had him on a couple times. It's just great to hear what the host has to say. And I know you have a lot of opinions on a lot of things. And I want to start with just the election, because it's been a different year, obviously, different, very, very different. And I know for myself personally, I'd become a little bit jaded with the process, feeling that there was very little difference between Democrats and Republicans, and the same agendas were being put forth no matter who got in. But this seems a little bit different this year with Trump and Bernie Sanders and obviously Hillary's establishment. But what's your take on Donald Trump's, you know, surgeons, and same thing with Bernie Sanders?
Well, I would say that the popularity of both is that for the longest time, we've all had the opinion that if we vote out one bum, the other bum will do better. And I think that we're kind of tired of that now. I think that people are realizing that the old, same old way that we've been doing things, the same deals with the devils we know aren't working. And so now we're willing to try devils we don't know and want to make deals with them, and hopefully they'll most certainly do good for us, but there are plenty of people that don't want to see changes that are on the other end of the, I guess you could say, social spectrum that are seeing this as a threat. And I've never in my life seen a time where people are so emotionally caught up in an election with emotional arguments and in my opinion, no objectivity and no levity. It's to the point where if you even make a joke or you have a criticism, even if it's not a harsh criticism, we find ourselves in a situation where people gain power from being contrarian. We don't stand up for things anymore. We stand against them now. Used to be we'd stand up for something. Now it's all about standing against an idea or an ideal. And I think that's what we see too much of, is we have too many people standing against rather than standing up. We don't know what we're doing, and we don't. And the thing is, there's a feeling that everybody is having that they just can't quite define. They're not happy. They're disillusioned. They're stuck. They're confused. And when the American people find themselves confused, they don't do anything. And that's the problem, is that, you know, they're angry at something. They just don't know what they're angry at. And, you know, we have social media now, and we have all these things where we can get the word out a lot sooner, say bad things to people, and bully people. And I just think that we're lacking social cohesion in this country. We don't know how to express ourselves any more than to just be negative and angry at one another. And that's why we seem divided. That's why we feel divided. We do not have a common goal in this country anymore. We don't have something that we can all say and agree upon. Now, I know that the polls have been taken, and they say that, 60-70% of the country doesn't trust their government. Well, if they don't trust their government, then how can they trust what's happening with the elections and with politicians? And I recently did an interview for Politico magazine, and they asked me some questions about how I felt about the election. And I said, well, it's nice to know that we're still arguing 20th century political talking points when we're in the 21st century and our world is about to abruptly change. Because we have so many things coming, our innovations, all of the things that we do that are innovative, what we've done to try to improve our lives, just might not improve us. It may set us back a little bit. And I'm looking at the job market, and I'm looking at a number of other things. I know a lot of people probably don't know this, but you know, 1 in 4 employees at Amazon.com are robots, and we have. Probably within the next 3 to 4 years, we have a chance of seeing driverless trucks, driverless cabs, driverless trains, pilotless planes. I mean, all flown by robots, all flown by satellites and AI. And that's within the next 4 to 5 years. Now, where's a candidate talking about what we're going to do with all of these people that are going to lose their jobs in 3 to 4 years?
Yeah, no,
the truck drivers.
You're right. No one's talking about that at all. And Google's, I guess Google's car passed the driver's test about a month or so ago. But yeah, I had that discussion with someone a couple weeks back, that how many people are going to lose these type of jobs. And they say, well, it'll be made up in the other sectors because the technology sector will make up those jobs. But those are education jobs. The jobs that are being eliminated are often unskilled workers. I mean, in the sense that they may not have the same education level when they're driving trucks and things of this nature. So why are the candidates not talking about those things? Because that is very relevant.
Probably because most people don't think ahead, because they want to keep us in a situation where we don't feel we have a future. They want to make us feel like that we have to, you know, make plans according to what they tell us rather than what we want. And I just don't think that we have been given the information necessary to even think about these things. And you know, I struggle all the time when I'm doing my talk show. I struggle with people who say, when are you going to talk politics? And I say, well, I talk conspiracy theory, and I analyze conspiracy theory to see if any of it has merit. But it's just gotten to the point where there's just too much politics, too many people, too many debates, too many town hall meetings, and the same thing said over and over again. It's like mixing the propaganda and forcing it down our throats, and people are swallowing it. That's the worst part. I mean, you know, they say government by consent. Well, we're giving consent for a lot of things that I never thought in my lifetime I'd see. And that is, you know, people need to understand that already in places like Switzerland, they're paying a floor wage to people about $2,600 of a floor wage, which means they don't have to work because they've been actually, their jobs have been taken away by technology. And so the government says, well, what are we going to do with all these people who aren't making money? Well, we're just going to pay them $2,600 a month. Even if they don't have a job, they get paid that.
To stay home.
And the thing is a floor wage, I mean, people are already talking about, you know, they want the minimum wage, increased. But, you know, the answer to that is technology.
Right.
The answer to that is hiring a robot, hiring a hamburger presser that can do, 30 hamburgers, every 30 hamburgers in, 10 minutes, and then have a sort of an ATM-like, greeter at the drive-thru, so you don't have to deal with any employee. You know, where I work at a radio station where we have a kiosk. It's kind of a place where you can get snacks and soda pop and all that. You know, we used to have vending machines at an old radio station I worked for. Now we have a full-on, it's almost like a mini-mart. It's small and in the kitchen area, and you pull out your drink, you pull out a card, and you put it up to the robot eye. It brings it up. You pay for it. If you don't pay for it, a camera's on you. It'll turn you in if you steal. So, I mean, we have a robot running our commissary where I work.
And it's just going to get worse in the sense that worse in one way, better in another. I mean, obviously employers are taking advantage of this because robots don't call in sick. They don't watch internet porn at work. I mean, they don't do a lot of things that a lot of employees do. So, you know, when you talk about conspiracy and government, there's definitely a lot of that also. I mean, we look at someone like Hillary Clinton, and I don't know if people have heard of that old documentary, The Clinton Chronicles, and it's been updated, and all the people that have been associated with the Clintons that have mysteriously died and things of that nature. I mean, do you think there's any merit to that, or do you think this is all coincidence?
Well, I wouldn't. I'd say this. You know, nothing surprises me in Washington. Scandals and murders and plausible deniability and dossiers being put on desks to tell people that you either, you know, say something like we want you to say it. I mean, it kind of reminds me of the old Bill Hicks story where Bill Hicks said that, you know, the President of the United States is elected into office and he has all these great plans to change the country, all these great plans to make things work and make things happen. And then what happens is after the inauguration, he's taken down into a room and he realizes it's a very dark, foreboding area. And a bunch of men that he doesn't see are smoking cigars and cigarettes. And they say, Mr. President, we'd like to show you something. All of a sudden, a screen comes down, and you see President Kennedy in the motorcade in Dallas going in an angle that no one's seen before. It's not the Zapruder film. It's something else. And all of a sudden, you see the gunshot, and then the screen goes dark. And the men say to the president, do you have any questions, Mr. President? And he says, yes, what's my agenda? And that seems to be, I mean... You're talking to a guy that's a House of Cards fan, so I think that it can be pretty corrupt. And of course, I mean, then we have the more watered down version called Scandal that's on TV too. So I mean, you can see and understand that politics are very tough in Washington. I think it's not for the faint of heart. I think if we really knew what was going on behind the scenes, I think we would immediately declare civil war. I mean, it just seems
horrifying
to me that. You know, we see what they are doing in our faces, but it's what they're not doing, what they're not showing us behind the scenes, I think that we would be completely frightened of.
Yeah, it, insane stuff. You know, I think that's one of the biggest draws that people have to Donald Trump is that even though he is an establishment in the sense that he's a billionaire, he's looked at as a guy that's just going to go in, no nonsense, clean house, because he can't be bought because he's already super, super wealthy. I mean, what do you think about that? I mean, I have mixed emotions. You know, you hope that happens, but just like you said, is he going to go in and get elected and everything's great and then they take him down to the basement and give him the talk and he falls in line too? Is it just hopeless?
Well, everybody has good intentions. I mean, Barack Obama had good intentions. But I predicted when I was doing my little tour, I used to tour around from bar to bar and do the Ground Zero Lounge, and I said, the honeymoon will be over in about 3 months, and it certainly went away in 3 months. I mean, there's still people that no matter what you tell them, they're going to love Barack Obama. And the thing is, you know, how can you not? I mean, he's very charismatic. He's, when he's around, he kind of, you know, has that smile about him, that charisma about him. But, I mean, take that away, and what do you have? A guy who can't he seems like he hasn't done a thing that even is worthy of mentioning that, you know, he'd say, well, you got that Peace Prize a while back. How'd that work for you? You know, it's just a number of things about Bill Clinton, about, Barack Obama, that, you know, you shake your head, you say, you know, it's kind of Teflon, and it doesn't stick to him, but it certainly, you know, makes you wonder why he's still around. Because he just doesn't seem like he does anything except plays golf, goes on vacation, maybe shoots a few hoops and show up on, you know, Jimmy Fallon. I mean, or
The
Jimmy
View.
Kimmel, you know, that's what it is.
He loves to be in the public eye. Well, let me change it a little bit. Still political here, but what is your take on ISIS? Because everybody, you know, I've always talked about how we are led by the nose in this country in terms of terrorism, and is used as a tool to sort of control people, and the fear of terrorism, the fear of an attack, and all this. When that in reality, as I've said many times, people have a more of a chance of being kicked to death by a donkey twice before they would die of a terrorist attack. But are we, you know, I've heard before that ISIS is USIS, meaning we are ISIS. Do you believe that we are actually, you know, behind the whole ISIS terrorism?
Well, I don't know if people are aware, but there's a new movie coming out soon called Suicide Squad. And the movie itself is based on a comic book, a bunch of comic book characters, including the Joker and Harley Quinn. And I mean, if you're a big comic book fan or if you're a big science fiction fan, you know that this is going to be an interesting movie. What it deals with, and what's interesting enough, is it deals with the government hiring the worst of the worst to go in and do a job that they wouldn't do. And so they've hired a mission task force to go in to make them look good. And so you have to understand that sometimes when you're in government, you have to have a group of individuals that make you look good. And, the reason why I wonder about whether or not we are ISIS, or we have ISIS in our hands and we're using them as a tool, is because of the fact that all of a sudden, after we were fighting against Al-Qaeda, we were fighting with them in Syria. I mean, it looks like, you know, there's no real enemy. You know, we side with people, we make friends with them, and then we make enemies with them later. It's like when we were making friends with people like Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein. And then we had the blowback situation, and they blow back. And then, of course, Al-Qaeda was responsible for 9/11. This group was responsible for 9/11. Now Saudi Arabia may be, involved here. And it just seems to me that we're just confusing people because we don't know who the enemies are. And so ISIS is over here just basically, doing all kinds of mayhem. And if ISIS was something that was something we really wanted to get rid of, we'd get rid of them, but we don't. And it's because it's like they create a dragon, they build their own beasts just to make them look good, and eventually when they're tired of the dragon, they have no use for it anymore, they'll go out and they'll slay it, or they'll say they went out and slayed it. And that's what I find happening now more than ever in government, because it's just, you know, everything, you know, public opinion is highly regimented. They'll get you to think certain ways with certain types of entertainment and certain types of, news reporting. I mean, almost every aspect of our daily living, whether it's business, religion, politics, or social conduct, we're being told by a relatively small number of people what to do, because they know what buttons they can push to get us to react. And they understand very well the mental processes of group mind, hive mind. They know how to manipulate the court of public opinion. They pull the strings. They drive social patterns. We go about our daily lives every day forming opinions and cheering on whatever, and we don't even know why we're doing it. And the reason why is because, well, it's crafty. It's nice. We now have what they call neural programming in television shows and computer programs, social networks. We're all part of the neural programming family now, and a lot of the decisions we make aren't necessarily ours. They're being made by focus groups, and it just basically put us in this situation where, I don't know, this election more than any other election, if you say anything that's derogatory or bad, or if you're being funny, it basically challenges, and people look at you and they challenge your political purity. Now you have to show your political purity, or you're a rhino, or you're a neocon, or you're a progressive, or you're a liberal, or you this. you know, and this is where we create these collective groups where you not only you no longer identify as who you are as a person. You identify yourself as a person, as a member of a political party, your religious affiliation, your, you know, heck, everything. You just basically, this is what I am, this is what I am. And it's all because you're part of these collective groups. Where's your individuality anymore? Who's controlling your individuality? I mean, people are totally unaware that a lot of what's going on with our opinions about a lot of things are all by design. And there are groups in the shadows that basically are the true ruling power. And they're manipulating, like, television shows and commercials and social networks and everything to get you to think a certain way. And it's been talked about before where Facebook one time put out a lot of negative comments in people's news feeds just to see how they would react. And they just were demonstrating how they could change the attitude of a sample group of people just by putting out negative stories on the Internet.
It's programming.
Your mind now can be steered in such a way that you don't even realize what you're angry about. You don't even know what you're angry about. You just know you're angry. You know something needs to be done, and yet you don't know what to do, so you don't do anything either. So you just sit back and watch it all collapse. It's a controlled demolition of our way of life, and it's happening now in this country. And I don't think people really understand just how complex it is. I don't think they really understand that.
My guest tonight is Clyde Lewis. He's the host of Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis, syndicated all over the place. You can hear him and go to groundzeromedia.org to find out more about him. If you want to call in and talk to either one of us tonight, 800-222-5222, 800-222-5222. That's 800-ABC-KABC. And Clyde, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, the way that you put that I believe that people are really being controlled and programmed. And it is. I think the confusion and people being pitted, one group being pitted against another, I think it's all by design, because when people are so distracted and so for this cause or that cause or identifying with certain groups, nothing gets done. But the elites or the globalists or whatever label you want to put on these people are able to operate right in wide daylight in front of everybody, because everyone is so busy bickering amongst themselves.
Well, and it used to be hidden. I mean, they used to be very cunning on how they would hide certain things. Now they do it right in front of our face, and it's because the invisible hand that we used to call the sinister shadow government or shadow groups, they are now coming out into the sunlight, and they're crafting new kinds of psychological warfare. And what they're doing is we're at a point in time where the divided masses are unwittingly begging their government to basically bring death upon anyone that they don't agree with. It's like, I don't agree with you, and I want you dead. Or I don't agree with you, and I'm going to punch you in the face to show that I don't agree with you. Once again, we feel better about standing against something than we do standing for something. And you see this in the Internet. We see this in social circles. We see how you know, how things are changing, how one day you wake up and you think you're relevant, and the next day you wake up and you're not. And when you're not relevant, you don't care anymore. You just decide that you're going to just protest everything and feel victimized about everything. And it's because they want to nurture this so they can bring more control. They want this encroachment of control. They want to control everything, full spectrum. You know, the air you breathe, the water you drink, the food you eat. They want to regulate your pain. That's another thing, too, is that, you know, have you ever noticed that in the news lately, whenever a rock star dies or when somebody important or somebody who may have a criminal history dies, we hear their medical, we hear all their medical history. And it's because they want the court of public opinion to say, yeah, well, that person had it coming. You know, she was mentally ill, and when the police shot her at that stop sign, it was well-deserved because she was probably crazy and needed to die. And that's capitulation. We have capitulated to a police state in this country, sort of a kind of a hidden police state where they kind of subtly militarized the police, and in the process they have allowed for the certain officers, not all officers, to be brutal and brutality. They use overkill when they pull people over anymore. A family fight would get you a cert team at your front door. These are the things that we need to be aware of, and a lot of people now have capitulated and said, well, you know what? if you don't do anything wrong, you have nothing to worry about. And I always say to people on my show, you know who said that? They always go, who? I go, Goebbels said that. He was the one who was quoted saying, if you don't do anything wrong, you have nothing to worry about. But there were a lot of people when Joseph Goebbels was with Hitler back in the day. There were a lot of people that didn't do anything wrong, but they still had a lot to worry about because some of them ended up dead, some of them ended up with their valuables stolen or their homes taken over or their property being taken from them. And I think people need to understand just how history operates, how it seems to rhyme, and how things are just happening again. And when you get into the idea that we're in some dysfunctional, dystopian country, or there's despotism, like, basically blooming and blossoming in this country, you try to tell people that. We have image and action parameters that say, well, I don't see him wearing those big high boots. I don't see him wearing a khaki uniform or a swastika. He didn't kill 6 million Jews. Oh, no. This isn't a bad government. You know, we're doing fine. Well, yeah, we're doing fine until you start realizing that governments kill people for you, people you don't agree with, people you don't like. And you would even want other people, if you're watching television and somebody on TV, they said committed a crime or that he's accused of committing a crime. Well, he's guilty. We don't need a Fifth Amendment. We don't need due process. Let's just take care of it right here. Let's just shoot somebody. And people are getting that attitude because they've capitulated to the idea that there's no way that they're going to be able to fight the system. The system has won. And I think that's sad because I think that if we all agreed that the system is damaged, that we can repair it, then maybe we get somewhere. But people are willing to just throw in the towel.
Well, you know, unfortunately, I think the internet has been the one thing that has helped try to stem this tide, so to speak, because I think before that, people that were like-minded or had a different point of view couldn't even get the word out. Because as you said, we have a situation where our media, whether it's the internet, whether it's cable television, network television, magazines, newspapers, etc., is all controlled by five or six humongous companies. So they control the message. They, in other words, control the consciousness of the people. We got to take a quick break, Clyde. My guest tonight is Clyde Lewis, the host of Ground Zero. This is Truth, Medicine, and Politics, and we will be right back.
You're listening to Truth, Medicine, and Politics with Dr. Gregory A. Smith. To get on the air live with your questions or comments, call 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222 or 800-ABC-KABC. We'll be right back right after this break.
Circular-shaped, unidentified objects have been reported.
The unidentified object moved slowly down the Pacific coast and disappeared.
USA Today has deemed Contact in the Desert the Woodstock of UFOs. To register for your chance to win a free pass to Contact in the Desert, go to drgregorysmith.com. Join us June 3rd through the 6th in Joshua Tree for an epic weekend of exploration. We'll see you in the desert. And don't forget to register at drgregorysmith.com.
It's Peter Tilden for Simi Valley Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Colin, the GM, thinks way outside the box. Like I said, give me a great price on a Jeep Renegade Sport. He said, how about $175 a month with just $50 down? They also have the most over-the-top conversions that make a statement. Simi Valley Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, they got Cherokees, Challengers, muscle cars, trucks, and Renegades for just $175 a month with only $50 down. Their phone number, 805-416-1328, or go to their website, Simi Valley Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.
The Home Depot has found a way to put more grill on your patio with less cash from your pocket. The Huntington 2-burner gas grill with side burner for just $119. You save $20. And you get a rust-resistant cast aluminum cook box with a 10-year warranty, a handy side burner, and enough cash left over for a nice thick ribeye or two. Bring on spring with the Huntington 2-burner gas grill, just $119. Only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid in Connell, U.S. only. See store for details.
In that neighborhood, it was almost impossible to get what we could afford. So I had set up alerts on Zillow to say, if anything in this area ever comes below a certain price point, it just popped up one day and I was like, oh my God, we have to go see it. It's a really wonderful neighborhood. And then to add on to that how wonderful the house is so cool.
Home means something different to everyone. With millions of homes for sale or rent on Zillow, whatever home means to you, Zillow can help you find it.
If you have to call a plumber, why not call one who shows up on time and smells good? Like Mike Diamond, the Smell Good Plumber, at 1-800-446-MIKE. Or you can always book your appointment online at MikeDiamond.com.
The other day, there was a guy at my house. I was in my room, and all of a sudden I hear... I don't know who this guy was. I think he was a construction worker. I took a video of this guy, and I'm going to put it on Facebook.
Yeah, how did this whole thing work out? When the construction worker comes to your house, and you don't even know he's there, and you see a man, a grown man, sleeping, snoring in your house, and the first thing on your mind is just a videotape, put it on Facebook? My idea would be to call the police. This is disturbing on so many levels. We'll get into that later, but are you sick and tired of sleeping on a couch? The reason you're out on the couch in the first place is because of your horrible snoring. So what you need to do is get this fixed. Buy a Zipa. What's a Zipa? It stops snoring. Hello, what are we talking about here? Buy a Zipa. That's ZYPPAH.com. Zipa.com. That's ZYPPAH.com. Zipa.com. Happy Z spelled backward.
Looking for the truth about medical and political controversies? Join Dr. Gregory A. Smith, producer of the hit film American Addict, for Truth, Medicine, and Politics every Saturday night at 9, right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Hi, it's Alan Gervey.
And I'm Carrie Kasem.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice?
Then tune in to Gervey's Law Saturdays at 2 when we open up the discussion and tackle difficult issues in law and life.
That's right. You've heard of Murphy's Law, but have you heard of Gervey's Law? Gervey's Law is that anything that can go wrong can also go right. And we go at it with some of the greatest legal minds in the country.
It's the intersection of law and life. Don't miss it Saturdays at 2 right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
The Home Depot has found a way to put more grill on your patio with less cash from your pocket. The Huntington 2-burner gas grill with side burner for just $119. You save $20. And you get a rust-resistant cast aluminum cook box with a 10-year warranty, a handy side burner, and enough cash left over for a nice thick ribeye or two. Bring on spring with the Huntington 2-burner gas grill, just $119, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid in Connell, U.S. only. See store for details.
In that neighborhood, it was almost impossible to get what we could afford. So I had set up alerts on Zillow to say, if anything in this area ever comes below a certain price point, it just popped up one day and I was like, oh my God, we have to go see it. It's a really wonderful neighborhood. And then to add on to that how wonderful the house is so cool.
Home means something different to everyone. With millions of homes for sale or rent on Zillow, whatever home means to you, Zillow can help you find it.
Circular-shaped, unidentified objects have been reported.
The unidentified object moved slowly down the Pacific coast and disappeared.
USA Today has deemed Contact in the Desert the Woodstock of UFOs. To register for your chance to win a free pass to Contact in the Desert, go to drgregorysmith.com. Join us June 3rd through the 6th in Joshua Tree for an epic weekend of exploration. We'll see you in the desert. And don't forget to register at drgregorysmith.com.
Want the truth? You're listening to Truth, Medicine, and Politics with Dr. Gregory A. Smith. To get on the air live with your questions or comments, call 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222 or 800-ABC-KABC. And now, Dr. Gregory A. Smith.
And I am back. It is Saturday night. My guest tonight is Clyde Lewis, the host of the syndicated show Ground Zero. And I just want to throw in there that Clyde is going to be one of the featured speakers at Contact in the Desert, June 3rd to the 6th in Joshua Tree. I'm going to be there also, and it's going to be a great event. I think everybody should come out that can get out there. And Clyde, I want to bring up another subject here, and that is everyone's seen the movie Men in Black, Men in Black 2, and there's always these mysterious guys in black suits. I mean, I know that you've had an experience. Do you believe that the men in black, so to speak, really exist? And tell us, you know, what has happened to you personally.
Well, the men in black do exist. I am one of those talk show hosts who I don't necessarily give them a supernatural. I don't give them a supernatural veneer. I see them as custodians of what needs to be done or what they feel need to be done. and they do so without any thought of morality. They're mostly amoral custodians that observe, that sometimes intervene, and at other times they become threatening and they harass. It all depends on how you handle them. Now, I've had my encounters with what I call men in black that most certainly are part of the government. Now, I know that there are other people who say, well, I've dealt with men in black that, you know, look more alien or something like that. I would say that, you know, maybe there are, you know, shadow individuals or what they call shadow archetypes that Carl Jung had talked about that people see. My experience with men in black or with a man in black per se was back when I first started Ground Zero, and we offered $10 million for proof of a UFO. We bought out an insurance policy, and we had a get-together in the parking lot of the radio station I was working for at the time, which is KCNR. And we actually went out. We painted a UFO landing site with a big alien and a you know, we did it for fun because I went into this. I was young, and, you know, I was basically there kind of being skeptical and kind of all, you know, smart alecky about the whole situation. And I actually contacted the Mutual UFO Network, and I said, you know, I'm going to do this, and, you know, I don't know if anybody's going to show up with a UFO, but I certainly think it would be a great gathering. And what was odd is that we were having fun with the morning show at the talk station I was at. Todd Herman was the guy that was doing the show at the time. There was also Rick Taylor, who later became Rick Emerson, who was involved as well. And we were offering bagels and cream cheese. There were network people there with their cameras waiting for the UFO to land, and they were interviewing me. And it was just two men that were standing there watching, you know, the festivities. And Todd walked up to them. They were in overcoats, and they were wearing, you know, black sunglasses, looking kind of menacing. And Todd walked up to me and said, so you guys look like you work for the government. Who do you work for? And they both said at the same time, the government. And we were like, whoa, you know, we thought, this is it, man. They're the men in black. These are the men in black. And we kind of joked about it and thought, yeah, nothing, you know, nothing is going to happen to us. Nothing did happen to us. But we had a guy who showed up, and he says, I don't have a UFO to show you, but I have something else to show you. And he brought out this picture, and he showed me this picture, and it was a picture of a desert area. He said it was the West Desert of Utah. And he said he was he's a prospector. He said, I'm a prospector out there, and I'm basically a guy who goes around looking for junk artifacts and things like that out in the desert. And he said, I was out there one day, and he says, all of a sudden, I saw these huge black triangles flying overhead. I could see the pilot. That's how low they were. I snapped pictures of these guys, and then I snapped a picture of a helicopter that was out in the distance. And he says, and then if you look down, look what's standing here. And I looked down, and I swear I saw an alien gray standing in the gully. Actually, he was crouched in the gully, looking right at me. And it was a very strange looking type of creature, because it kind of looked like, you know, in the movie Predator, how Predator looked when he materialized. He had camouflage. And so it looked like there was something standing there in the gully that had camouflage, big black eyes. And I was like, going, this is amazing. And so I went and I posted on my website. See, the web was really young back then. I mean, you figure it just had, what, we just barely got into putting up websites. And that was back when your web address wasn't, you know, ClydeLewis.com or GroundZeroMedia.com. It was KDCOL.com/ground0/1237/, you know, it's just, your addresses were so long you couldn't even remember them. And what had happened is I got a phone call from my web host, and he said, hey, Clyde, you know that picture of that alien? And I said, yeah. And you should take it down. I go, why? Is it some shifty guy came in looking like some old gumshoe from the 1950s saying that that picture needs to come down? And I told him, I said, well, don't take it down. He says, well, we may have to. They sound pretty threatening. And I said, no, it's all right. And so what had happened is I get a phone call from the front desk, and it's, you know, it's a receptionist saying, there's a man here to see Rick, my program director. And so I went up and I said, I'll go meet with him and take him to Rick. So what was happening is he said he wanted to investigate Rick for something he said on the air about the mayor of South Salt Lake. And I thought it was kind of odd because I don't remember anything about it. And so Rick said, can you kindly show this gentleman where we keep our tapes from the shows? He'd record what I said. He said something about the mayor. He says, could you record what I said about the mayor? I said, sure. So I went into the production room with this man. He was wearing an overcoat, and black overcoat. It looked like, you know, looked like some gumshoes from the, you know, 1950s, you know, noir films. And he said, I'm not here to record anything from the mayor. I go, what are you here for? He says, I'm here to talk to you. And I said, oh, really? He says, yeah. He says, you have a picture of the West Desert Alien on your website? And I said, you listen to my show, obviously. He goes, no. He says, I just paid a visit to your web host, and you've been telling people this is an alien that you have as a picture. It's not an alien at all, Mr. Lewis. This is what is it? He says, I can't tell you. I'm not at liberty to say. I said, well, I'm not at liberty to put it off my website. I'll keep it up there because it's freedom of speech, and I can express myself how I want. And well, that was back when, you know, we all thought we were tough when we had our website. and so he said, well, you better take it down or you're going to make a fool of yourself. And I said, well, I'm not going to. And so then what had happened is that a few days go by, and I get in my car, and I go to start the car. And what had happened is there was a big flash of light and a boom sound, and the hood of my car flipped up. Flames headed toward me. It was like in a slow motion. I couldn't believe it. It's like my brain fixated on the flames coming at me. I ducked out of the way, got the car out of the way, called the fire department. And the fire department told me, they said, you just had a simple magnesium bomb put on your carburetor. And I said, oh, and how does that work? He says, well, they cut your fuel injectors, and then you basically put gas in the spark plugs, and it ignites a magnesium pack, and that's what happened. They did it to scare you. I said, well, it burned my entire car. I mean, it was, you know, bomb going off my car. They bombed my car. And so everybody's wondering, you know, who'd be, you know, mad enough to bomb my car. Well, this guy shows up at the house. He's wearing black shorts and a black hat and black sunglasses, and he has a camera, and he says, hi, we're from the insurance company. We'd like to get your statement on what happened with the car. So I says, well, I'll show you the car. And the thing is, I didn't have insurance on the car. So I said, well, what insurance? Because I let it lapse because I just bought a new car. I said, what insurance company are you? And he said, oh, I work for the apartment complex. I said, oh, okay, cool. So I'm telling the story about what happened. And then he said, thank you, Mr. Lewis. And he took this little tape out of his camera and he handed it to me. I go, what's this? He says, it's insurance. I says, oh, what do you mean? I thought you were doing this for insurance. He says, yeah, it's insurance. You'll never open your mouth again when somebody tells you to take something down off your website. Wow. So whatever that was, they bombed my car to get me to shut up. And come to find out, after so many years, I found out exactly what it was. It wasn't an alien at all. It was a camouflage suit that was worn by a soldier that they were going to use in the Gulf War, and they didn't want anybody to see it.
Amazing.
And so, you know, sometimes, you know, you get a little visit if you're doing something that they don't want you to do, and they're being nice about it. And then they don't get nice anymore. They get kind of mean. But to this day, I really can't trace who was responsible for harassing me. But the guy who took the picture, obviously, he got it worse than I did because he was driving a milk truck in Logan, Utah, and he was pulled over by men in black in a Ford LTD, black Ford LTD, and they basically assaulted him.
Wow.
And he hit back, and then they threw a charge against him about abuse of his family, and he was in jail for 15 months. So it was an ugly situation, and it's a situation that, you know, if we look back at it, I mean, I'm not all cloak and dagger about what I do. I mean, if something happens, I don't immediately jump to conclusions. I'm being hunted down by the government. But, you know, I made a mistake, and I'm perfectly willing to admit I made a mistake by not listening when they were trying to give me a clue. But see, I was so full of myself at the time that I thought, well, you know, you can't tell me what to do.
Right.
And I was trying to get the truth out to everybody. and I kind of put that aside. You know, there are some talk show hosts or conspiracy theorists that say, I'm telling you the truth. And I realized, you know, you're really not, because the only truth you're telling is what you've observed, and you're only as good as the information you get. You're only as good as your informants are. And so I decided to change that and say, I don't know if I'm giving you the truth, but I'm certainly being very honest with you when I tell you that this is what I want to report to you.
Right.
And that's how I've decided I'm going to take it from now on, because there's so much disinformation out there, and there's so many stories that, you know, so many facts, alleged facts that are being spewed out by everybody that, you know, it gets confusing after a while. So I tell people, you know, I'm not here to win you over. I'm not preaching to a choir. I'm not doing anything, taking a political stand. I'm being objective, and I want you to be objective too. And, you know, maybe I'll be wrong, maybe I'll be right, but more times than not, I think I'm pretty good at connecting dots and figuring things out.
My guest tonight is Clyde Lewis, the host of Ground Zero, the syndicated show. And Clyde, we have some calls. We don't have a whole lot of time left, but I want to get some people on that want to speak to you. So first one here is Lynette. Lynette, are you there?
Hi, I'm there.
How are you tonight?
Hi. Hello, you guys. And thank you for taking my call. And wow, this is refreshing. I mean, I've been saying this for a while myself. We have an oligarchical duopoly plutocracy, and you know what we call democracy, and you know the American way right now. I mean, anytime you have the president having his own Senate go behind his back, going to Iran, you know, trying to mess up foreign policy and all of that, it's like, well, who's really running the show? It really it's come down to it's been said before, we have a military industrial slash government contractor now slash technocracy industrial prison complex right now running the show. And don't forget the gun lobby either. But, you know, we got all this stuff, you know, pushing us in directions we know not of that we don't even want to go as Americans. And it's just really astounding. The treason that has been going on, and ain't nobody saying it in the media, hey, y'all committing treason. This ain't nothing but nothing short of treason, which you do. The media are watching the hand coop.
Yes. The media is useless now because they're basically encouraging people to allow themselves to be misgoverned. And they're constantly reminding people that, you know, despite the fact that the government is despotic, just let's be entertained. You know, that's why we have an entertaining candidate like Donald Trump. You know, we need some entertainment here. That's why ratings are great for the debates and ratings are great for the town hall meetings. It's all about ratings, and it gives us this illusion that even though we're faced with the reality of, you know, that the rule of law no longer applies to government, we all have really cool funhouse things to do, like watch Dancing with the Stars and Coca-Cola and Disneyland and bread and circuses. I mean, they're all there to they're there to perpetuate the illusion that America's still intact when in reality, there's only a few things holding it together.
Yeah, it's just a system of distractions, in my opinion. I mean, people just move from one distraction to another distraction to another distraction. And you're right, it perpetuates the illusion that everything is okay. Lynette, thank you for the call. Clyde, we only have a few minutes left, and I want to get to one more topic, and I just want to get your thoughts on CERN, and maybe you could tell the audience, you know, what CERN is, and your involvement in terms of your views on that.
Well, CERN is a particle beam accelerator, and it's located in Geneva, Switzerland. It's huge, and every day we're slamming particles together to try and find the God particle or the same energies that existed at the time before we were all, you know, blown into existence by the Big Bang. And quite frankly, I think it's a waste of time. I think it's the most egotistical toy we have out there. I don't know what it's being used for. It's just, you can speculate about what it's being used for because there's so many people that have said they want to open up another dimension. They want to be able to send something through. They want to experiment. And there are many people, and I've interviewed a lot of people, who say that this is pretty much, CERN is a metaphor. It's kind of a metaphoric it's like the gates of hell opening up, and we're allowing things to come in and go and whatever. And see, I really don't know what's going on there, but there's so many people who say that this is doing damage to what's going on under the Earth, that these magnets that are so huge affect the magnetic field, and of course, if the magnetic field is affected, the core of the Earth is being affected, and this is why you're seeing all sorts of increases of earthquakes and anomalies like volcanoes, because the core of the Earth is being disrupted. There's so many things we're doing to the Earth right now. It's no surprise that we're seeing all these things happen. And I remember when I first read about CERN, the thing that frightened me the most, and I did a lecture on it, I said, you know, the minute they start that key and they start slamming particles together, those huge magnets fire up under the Earth, I just wonder if the mantle basically gets jolted, or the magma under the planet reacts to it, or what would happen if they were, you know, creating something like a quasar underneath the planet, or they created a mini black hole that got out of control, or something like that would basically suck us all in and take us out. We wouldn't even have time to, you know, kiss our wives goodnight or anything. It just happened so fast. And so I just don't know why, you know, we take these huge risks for science that only fills the egos of those who are conducting the experiments. I feel the same way about global warming. I feel as though that if they were to tell the truth about it, that it's nothing more than sustainability, the idea of global and resource sustainability, I'd be more than happy to be a part of it, because I know that we're basically exploiting resources on this planet. But they're not. They're creating a boogeyman about climate, and there's no complexity theory being induced. There's nothing about how the planet takes care of itself. I mean, the planet will be here longer than we will be, and it's because of the fact the planet has a way of just basically spitting people off. And so I don't think there's one government or a group of people or anyone that's going to be able to control Mother Nature. And if they are able to control Mother Nature, that's another story. Weather control has always been, you know, something that we suspected. And geoengineering is obvious. When you look up at the sky, you see the trails that they're laying in the heavens. So, I mean, and they wouldn't even let them talk about geoengineering at the climate summit in France. And the reason why, because if you bring that up, it ruins their whole theory they want to present as to why CO2 gases are basically harming the planet. So, you know, it's all skewed, and it's all being there to be, you know, served you. And if you're gullible enough to believe all of it, and if you're gullible enough to believe that there's all these boogeymen out there the government can save, you know, we're in a very, very big problem here, if that's what we're believing.
Well, we see that there seems to be an effort to control the weather and other things of this nature. I mean, HAARP and the particles that are being spread up in chemtrails are supposedly trying to do this. And so I feel like that the governments or the powers that be are trying to control every aspect, and people are just told a certain version so they'll go with it. I mean, global warming is one of those narratives that's been put out there for a long time at this point.
And then they give us newspeak where they say, or they use the doublespeak like Orwell, and they say, well, it's climate change. And if you don't believe in climate change, you're an idiot. Yeah, well, you know what? You're right, because if you say there's no climate change, you are an idiot, because climate's changed. That's what climatologists do, is they monitor the changes of climate. You've decided to couch the word in such a way that we can't argue that. But I'll tell you what, why don't you add something to it like anthropomorphic climate change, or like you said, anthropomorphic global warming, or those types of things. So why don't we just call it what it really is, global sustainability and sustainable development by controls and procedures that will be implemented by the United Nations. Why don't we say that? But they won't, because people will want to join that if that's the case.
That's right. Well, Clyde, listen, we're just about out of time, and I really appreciate you being on. And can you give out, I know your website, groundzeromedia.org, I believe. Any other websites or anything you want to say?
Yeah, soundcloud.com/groundzeromedia. If you want to hear some of our past shows, we run the gamut from conspiracy theory to paranormal to UFOs. Anything that we find fascinating that's not being reported by the mainstream, you'll find it here. You'll find it in very thorough reports, and hopefully objective reports too. And maybe we dabble in a little politics, but lately we've kind of decided it's a little boring, and hopefully something will change that. But in the meantime, go ahead and give us a listen.
Very well said, and it is a great show. Clyde, thank you for being on tonight, and I look forward to seeing you over at Contact at the Desert. And you listening, go to Contact at the Desert. It's June 3rd to the 6th in Joshua Tree near Palm Springs. It's going to be a great conference. We are giving away a free pass to that. If you go to drgregorysmith.com, that is drgregorysmith.com, you can register to win a free 3-day pass to that, to Contact in the Desert. It's going to be a great time. Clyde Lewis is going to be there. A lot of the people I've interviewed the last few weeks are going to be there, and I'm going to be there. So come out to Joshua Tree, June 3rd to the 6th. This is Dr. Gregory A. Smith. You've been listening to Truth, Medicine, and Politics, where truth is medicine, and I will see you next Saturday night.
This show furnished by GS Medical Center and Dr. Gregory A. Smith.